Hey, does Christmas feel like it was just like a long time ago already? Yeah, kind of so. And so is there anybody that's wearing something like brand new they got for Christmas today? Raise your hands. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, getting gifts is pretty fun, isn't it? But you know what's better than getting gifts is giving gifts. And so as it being, this is like traditionally the New Year Sunday, and you know, people like to make resolutions for New Year's. I never have even liked the term. I never have even liked that. I would like us to consider goal setting. And man, this is a janky music stand, so hang with me. If it goes over, hey, we'll just have a little bit more entertainment. And so what I want you to do, we're going to talk about generosity, and immediately you think generosity is I need to grab my wallet and I need to sit on it hard, as I'm going to talk about money. Money is just a very small portion of being a generous person. But I want you right now to think back and think of the two most generous people that you know or have known. Maybe they're gone, maybe they're still around, but two of the most generous people that you know. And I can guarantee you what just happened, because I've thought about this, and I have my two. But you had a warm feeling towards those two people. You did. That there's a warm spot in your heart for people that are generous. And so I want you to save those two in your brain and to consider them and to think about them. And kind of even saw it in gift giving for Christmas time. Now, I'm all for, you know, as a kid, my parents somehow tried to figure out what I wanted for Christmas. And as adults, has anybody ever asked you for a Christmas list? Yeah. And I get that, but I really don't like doing that, because it's like I'm asking for what I want. You know, it's like a shopping list. You know, like, you know, if I really wanted that item, I would go get that item. You know what I mean? And so I'm really moved by when somebody figures out what I want just because they know who I am. Maybe know my likes or dislikes and know what I am and like that. And I'm moved by that. Not that I don't like getting gifts that were on my list, because I made a list and I got some gifts, and I don't want to step on a toes from any family member that's here that gave me a gift that was on my list. Did I cover that? Okay. So, I was really moved by a gift that my youngest son gave his mom. Wasn't on her list, wasn't what she asked for, but it was so touching that when it came delivered to our shop, because that's where Amazon goes now for my family, is to my shop, and we know the UPS drivers well. In fact, one of my fellows has a rock, paper, scissors competition with the UPS driver, because he comes so often. My wife loves to shop. Perfect timing, dear. Come on in. Loves to shop from the comfort of her chair / bed. When I'm asleep at night, my wallet's on fire and I don't even know it. You know. But I tell you what, it keeps me from having to go out and fight the crowds, which I really dislike to do. But when that gift arrived, in the package wrapped up, and my son wanted to open up and look at it, every one of us in the shop went, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. You know, and I thought, well, my gift that I got my wife is going to be, you know, next to this. You don't know if you know, you can go, there's different sites that you can go. One of them is called Shutterfly. And you can take a photograph and you can have it sent, and they will take a photograph and they will put it on what looks like, I mean, it looks like a painting when it's done, on a frame and all that. And my son, I'm just getting choked up just talking about it. And this wasn't even in my notes, so hang on, it might be a long Sunday. My son had taken one of the favorite pictures that my wife got of she and her dad. And it was literally 3 months ago, 4 months ago, whenever we had the father-daughter banquet. When was that? I don't even know when that was. October. One of the best pictures that I've seen of those two together, that portrayed their smile, their love for each other, and just so it was, and he had it blown up into this piece of art to put on the wall with a scripture on the bottom. And not only did it bless me, but I knew what it was going to do, how it was going to bless my wife. And I mean, that's finding generosity. It would have, it's that thing, being able to connect with other people. And so we as believers, we are called to do that. We are called to do, because Paul clearly tells us in Ephesians, Ephesians 5:1 says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Be imitators of God by living a life of love. And usually when I think about living a life of love, we will think of the things, the attributes that I think of God as like grace, mercy, forgiveness. I mean, I think of those. I think of those and I think, how can I input those in my life to others? But I have to think a little bit harder when it comes to generosity. But do you realize how of a generous, giving God we serve? I mean, it's pretty incredible. It's pretty incredible. If we look at, in Genesis, I think, Genesis, for those of you that brought a Bible, is one of the easiest books to find in the Bible, because it's the first one. Who knows what the last book of the Bible is? Revelation. Okay, who can find Samuel at the drop of a hat like that? Takes a little bit longer, one of those guys. But we're going to look at Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verse 29. This is to show us what kind of a giving God we serve. "Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creations that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. God created and gave us everything. Gave us everything. Think of what Adam and Eve had: the perfect garden, the perfect life, no stress, no worries, no disease, no age. I mean, isn't that where you would like to be? Wouldn't you like to have a stressful, stress-free life? You probably have a stressful life. But what they had that, but what took that away? Sin. Selfishness. Their sin of selfishness. That's what took that away from them. And that's what now is, because of that, is our default. Did you know that selfishness is your default in your personality? Have you ever seen a child growing? What did, like, one of the first words that they learned, besides Papa? I made sure of that on a couple. What are the first words they learned is mine. Mine. Have you ever seen them grab something and hang on, whether it be whatever it is, and that is theirs. It's mine. And so we as parents start early on in trying to change that default setting in us. And that can be hard, especially if you then provide them with a brother or sister. And how that default system of selfishness and taking care of what's mine and being all that is kind of ingrained in us even harder. It's like pouring gas on a fire. And so even as kids, we try to learn that. We try to break out of that. And as adults, we still fight it. Of course, you know, us adults, we're all just older kids. You realize that? Has anybody ever told you that one of these days you'll grow up? Well, you know, I'm still working at it. And so we try to change that default system within us. And we have the example of God as he created everything for us. And then we had the example in John 3:16 where God gave his only begotten son. His only one. God gave out of sacrifice. God gave out of what he had, not out of what his excess was. And that's a big deal. We'll get to that later. But just start thinking about that. And so how do we live this life of showing God's love and living a life of love between grace, forgiveness, mercy, and then generosity? Well, I want you this morning, as we're sitting here, I want you to take a self-examination in your life and think about how generous you are, what your generosity meter looks like. And sometimes we have a different perception of ourselves and what reality is, and sometimes we need someone to help us with that. If you have a spouse, are they a perfect person that usually knows you inside and out? And so later on today, I don't want you to do it now, but I want you to take that test in yourself, in that mirror. Look yourself in the mirror really hard and try to gauge where your generosity is. And then bounce it off of somebody that knows you really well and ask them, how can I get better in this? How can I get better in this? Well, one of the reasons we do this is Proverbs 3:9. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Brim over with new wine. So we're going to talk about first fruits, and we're going to talk about first fruits in a number of different areas. Usually this is, you're thinking, oh, he's going right for the wallet on this, but no. First fruits in our time, our energy, ourselves, what we have right here. Our possessions, what we have accumulated, what we have all together, our possessions, and then lastly, yes, and your money. Do you know that in the Bible, money is talked about more than any other thing? You know why? Because it is so close to our heart, because it can turn a heart. It can turn a heart, how you handle that and how you work with that. And so we have to retrain ourselves. After this test that I want you to do, another good barometer is examine your checkbook. Where have you spent all your money? Are you spending on self-consumption? Are you spending it on others? Are you spending it, or do you have any margin in your life to improve your generosity? Do you have margin in your life with your energy? Do you have margin in your life with your time? Do you have margin in your life with your resources? Or have you just maxed everything up in self-consumption? So examine yourself through all that. And just like, excuse me, honey, can you toss me that bottle of water right next to you? Thank you. She used to be a star all-star softball player. You know that? She went to St. Louis one time on a trip because she was a star all-star softball player. She's shaking her head at me alone. All right. Okay. Do you know you have to train? Because we are not, because of sin, we are not wired this way. That is something that we have to work at. We have a customer that comes in frequently, and he's a big guy, big white beard. In fact, what's his nickname? What did he tell you to look him up at?
Bad Santa.
Bad Santa. He said to look himself up. So Stephen asked him one time. Stephen's got this gift of being able to connect with people much better than I do. And he asked him one time, he said, do you lift? Because, you know, Stephen looks like a big weightlifter, right? Yeah. He is starting to work. He said, do you lift? And this guy smiled and said, yeah, look me up. I'm Bad Santa. He holds records. He holds records, and he can lift, he told me, over 700 pounds. 700 and some pounds what this guy can lift. And I can't remember what he could bench. 400 and something? 425? I mean, that's massive. I mean, that is massive. And so, but I tell you what, he didn't get off the couch one day and decide, okay, today I'm going to lift 700 pounds. No, he didn't do that. It's small steps. Small steps in training, small steps in nutrition, small steps in coaching, being led, and then the perseverance to push through when it is hard. Have you ever tried to do something, set your sight on something, and it got hard and you quit? Yeah, plenty of times. But the results are pretty amazing when you push through that. And do you know, it is proven, and I've looked this up, you know, as as if you exercise, you get what's called a runner's high. Have you ever heard that time before? I've had a lot of highs in my life. Runner's high. I don't like to run. I cycle, but you get the same deal. When you, it creates endorphins in your brain, and it's a thing that giving actually stimulates those same centers in your brain, and actually you can get a giving high, a generous high. I heard one of a financial advisor for one of my relatives told my relative, you know what, you need to give away some of this money before you die so you can enjoy the good feeling of giving. And so there comes with that. There comes with that. Yeah, it's really cool to get a nice gift that you like. But man, there is something so much different than connecting generously with somebody else and that good feeling that goes on. Have anybody ever experienced that? Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? That, you know, so there's this, you have all these motivations. You have all these motivations that I want to get better, that I want to get bigger and stronger. I want to be the good Santa that can lift 800 pounds, you know, but we want to honor God all of our lives, and one of the best ways to do it is being generous. We're going to turn to talking about motivation. We're going to turn to Mark 12, 41. And I love this passage, mainly because I kind of like to do this stuff myself. Jesus found a spot, and he sits down and he watches people that are coming in the temple to give offerings. Not that I like to watch give offerings. I like just kind of like to watch people. I kind of like to watch people. When I watch reviews and slow motion rewinds of great sporting events, not only do I look at what's happening, I love to look past and look at the crowd that was around him and look out and see how that's just one little thing on my, not in my notes either. Okay. So anyway, he's watching this and he sees a widow come up. Now, a widow in that time period is so much different than how a widow can support in our day and age. If you were widowed, you had no support. You didn't have a job. You could not get out of job. Women didn't work. And so you relied completely upon the generosity of others, of your family, of your friends, and people that would provide for you. And so your provisions would be very important to you. And you would not have a lot of margin in your life. And so we are in Mark 12, 11. It'd probably be better if I put on my glasses. Mark 12, 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." She gave out of her necessity, not out of her excess. I have my son and his girlfriend here from California, and there was terrible fires, and I mean, California had a pretty rough 2018. Probably had a rough 1918 too, but I wasn't there. 2018 had a pretty rough time between fires and all that happened. The last one burned up some celebrities' homes. Did you see that? I mean, it was some pretty nasty stuff. And then you would see a celebrity come, and a celebrity would say, "I'm going to give $2.1 million towards the fund to help." And it's like, oh, that is really cool. And that is. That is really cool. But most of the time, that's like a price of a biscuit to them. You know, so when we give, it can't just be out of margin that doesn't affect us. Sacrificial giving is so much different in every aspect of our life, in our time and energy, in our possessions, and in our money. So as we're learning, this and we're working out and we're trying to move on to that, don't let your motivation be, I want to be seen giving in front of the temple and put it in. I want to be seen by others. If that's the only motivation and that's the only thing you're looking for, that's exactly what you're going to get is people seeing you. God's not going to look upon that and be happy with that. Just the opposite. And so we're going to look, first of all, at our time and our talents. 1 Corinthians 12 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Do you know that God created each of us individually and unique? That we have talents that are different. I could not, as much as I like the drums, as much as I like the sound and the beat and all that, I could not sit down right now and play and be good at it. I wanted to be as a kid. My mom bought me a snare and I played for, you know, like 2 weeks. It got hard and I quit that, and they didn't like the noise, you know. But I've seen people that have persevered and have learned. When it came time to worship, they wouldn't hand me a mic to stand up here and to be able to lead you with a clear, nice voice. I mean, I love to sing, but there are people that are definitely better gifted than what we are. And so we are all created differently. Now, does that mean I don't worship God with my voice? Absolutely not. But does that mean that I don't volunteer or do anything, get in a spot because, yeah, you know, I'm really not gifted in that direction? I really don't like kids, you know. I've said it before that when I first started helping with Awana, when my wife was the lead person in Awana, I only helped really because I wanted to help my wife because she was overwhelmed and up to her. I loved my kids and pretty much put up with your kids. You know what I mean? You know, but now, after being the lead person in Awana for I don't know how many years, I absolutely love kids. I absolutely love kids. Yeah, are they a pain sometimes? Can they be challenging? Oh, absolutely. But you know what? So can you guys. Let me tell you, so can you guys. You know, but I just love that. And so don't hold back on wanting to be a functioning part of not only a church community, but the community that you live in because you think you're not talented. Because you don't think you're gifted that way. You know, as one of the tasks that I have as lead in Awana is recruiting volunteers. And you think, yeah, you know, there's a multiple different ways that you can do that. Guilt is a pretty good motivator. You know, guilt somebody, you know, you're not doing anything. Why don't you come in with me and help me? You know, or I in the last few years, I'm like, okay, God, give me an idea. Give me an idea and give me some faces of who you would think would work out here. And a name will come up, and I'm like, no way. There's no way that person is going to say yes. There's no way that's going to happen. They don't look like they're gifted with that. But, you know, who am I to know better than God, right? So I have learned to, some of the time, do what God tells me to do, and I will go and approach that person. And then I will watch them bloom. I will watch them enjoy what they're doing. I will see challenges that they have not only with the kids, but maybe with the other adults, because remember, we're all just big kids. But I see all that, but I see the joy that they get in serving, the joy that they get in that. And that comes where we're going to get to what God does to us when we give, what God does. And so don't just hang back. Don't just hang back and not do something because you think you're not talented enough. And don't do something just because you think you are talented to be that person. You know what I mean by that? There are auditions for different things. Because sometimes, again, we don't have that real clear view of who we really are. Have you ever watched some of those singing competitions and had a person come out and sing? And I would turn to my wife and say, does no one speak into this person's life? Has nobody ever heard this person sing before? And here they're on national TV. Well, that's part of the draw. They want to get you to watch and hear a clinker every once in a while because that's part of the draw to it. But I mean, we need to know who we are, and we need to be willing to listen to God's voice and to step out in areas that, man, maybe you've never done before. Maybe you've never done. And let me tell you, let me give you a little hint. In the areas that you're most critical about, of things that are functioning, whether church society, community society, those areas that you are the most critical about, I'm thinking God's telling you, you need to step out, you need to be a part and help in that area. Instead of being critical, come and be a part of it. Come and be a part of it and help add to it instead of subtracting. Do you know, have you ever, those people, those two guys or ladies that you put in your brain that you had that great thought about, are they greedy people? No, by nature. By example, are they greedy people? No. You know who most critical people are greedy, stingy people, and the breakdown in your heart. Man, don't be one of those. Don't be one of those. Don't get to that point in your life. Live to learn a life of generosity. One of those people, of my two, is in here today. And this person helps us on Wednesday night. Not because out of guilt, not because I asked him. It's because God told him, God speaks to him, and that's the way they have lived their life. And it's not because they are gifted. This is how they are gifted. They are gifted in the ability to teach. They are gifted in counseling. They are gifted in loving people, because that is a gift and that is something that you need to learn to do. And they are gifted in all those areas. And they come on a Wednesday night. He is our most senior elder, our most senior volunteer on Wednesday night, Will Everts. But so not only does Will interact with all the kids and do all those things that he is gifted to do, Will stacks and drags chairs and tables when we're done. Now, I've watched from up here with the kids here and I'm doing my thing. I've watched Will drag stacks of chairs back and forth. Will is a man of honor who should be sitting and relaxing at home in his recliner. He's nodding his head, yes. Sitting at home, relaxing in his recliner in a warm home, drinking a cup of decaf coffee and reading or whatever. But here he is on a Wednesday night. And I've seen 20-something-year-old leaning up against the wall like this as Will walks by him 2-3 times dragging chairs and not helping. I wanted to slap that individual, you know. If it would have been my son, I would have slapped that individual, you know. But Will does it out of a life of generosity, out of a life of giving. How many in here Will has touched their life? Huh, look at that, Will. Look at that. Yeah. You know, and so Will could say, I've done my thing. I don't need to do anything. I deserve and I've earned to do nothing. That's not how Will thinks. That's not how Will thinks. And so generosity in our time and our talents in the way that God's gifted you, and also in ways that God hasn't gifted you, step out. Step out and be a part of life. Well, I got to hustle up here. Okay, the second one, possessions. Luke 12:15 says, "Then he said to them, 'Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions.'" Do you know how much stuff we gather? How much stuff that we hang on to that we think we have to have? Envision a line going from one end of this table to the other, right in front. A line, and that's your lifespan, okay? And I just Googled this morning lifespan in the United States. I have to write it down. Lifespan, the average lifespan in the United States is about 80 years old. Now, my mom's 98, so we throw that out. She helps bring that average up. Okay, and so dependent upon things, but most of us look at that lifespan, that line. And then there's eternity in heaven. Take that line and spin it around this room infinite numbers of time. But yet, this is the line that we focus on in life. Where our energy, where our possessions, and where our time and our money goes all is in that little section. Matthew 6:19 says, "Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. With our possessions, we need to be open-handed, meaning we need to be willing to give of our possessions, be willing to give of what God has given us. An excellent example for me, and I didn't even put this together until later on, I try on Sunday mornings to try to help calm myself. I have a routine I go through. One of it is I get my clothes set out the night before, and I pick this shirt. I pick this shirt out because this is one of my, I like this shirt. In my opinion, it fits me nice. I like this shirt. This shirt was given to me by a friend whose closet had shrunk. Have you ever had your closet where you've gone in and all your clothes have shrunk? Okay. Well, his clothes had all shrunk. But he knew that this shirt still had value in it because it was a quality, more quality shirt than, you know, your normal run-of-the-mill shirt. And he thought, who do I know that this might fit? And so he gifted me this one along with two or three other shirts that I didn't much care for, didn't fit me as well, and a couple of pairs of jeans that actually did fit me pretty good. So he gifted me all of these things just out of a small show of generosity. Something of his life that had value and he was willing to give. Now, you know, you could say, yeah, he was just doing spring cleaning. Yeah, he was just cleaning out his closet. How many of you ever done that? Well, where does most of that always go? You know, one of these places that you can drop stuff off in a box and put your head down so they don't look, you know, and some of them will even refuse some of the things because you're just trying to not pay going to the garbage bin. You know what I mean? And so don't think that you are being generous of things when you take it down to Goodwill. And it's even worse when you take it to one of their Dropbox sites at night in the parking lot and it's dark and nobody's going to check it and you can just drop it off. God, you're barely recycling at that point, you know. Basically what you're doing is just getting away from giving garbage, you know, and having to pay to go to the So don't be willing to give out of the good stuff that you have. Be willing to share out of the good stuff that you have. Not broken, not worn out, stuff that has value. Stuff that has value in your life. Be willing to give that. All right, I'm going to have to really spin up here. So now we're going to get to money. You knew eventually I was going to get to money, right? Okay. So, and I'm going to hit the main, one of the main scriptures that people always use when it talks about money, and that's in Malachi. Another easy book to find. It's the last book in the New in the Old Testament before the New Testament starts. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house." Bring the whole tithe into the... What's a tithe? Tithe is 10% right off the top. Bring that in. Why? Because God wants his money? No. What does it say? It says, bring it in so that there may be food in my house. Bring it in so that the church can be a lighthouse in the community to help, to show God's love, to show God's grace and mercy. We do a lot of stuff around here in the for the community stuff. We have an Awana. Man, we probably... 60% of the kids that come to Awana are not from our church. A lot of them don't have the money to pay for the vests and all that stuff. We have some great givers in our church, and we were able to put it all together to be able to do stuff. We don't carry a mortgage. We don't carry a mortgage on the property. This is all paid for. We don't have any loans against vehicles. We don't do any of that. So what money comes in, we are able to use for God's glory. We don't pay our pastor an extravagant amount of money. You would be surprised. Some of you should be embarrassed by what we pay our pastor. And so you can... Have you ever rationalized your way out of giving? Oh, you know, yeah. I'm sure we have, because we don't rationalize any kind of sin. Have you ever rationalized your way out of giving? Like, oh, no, you know, I tithe by taking my carload of stuff down to Goodwill. Have you ever thought that in your brain? Oh, let God speak to you right now. Have you ever tithed by, oh, I give because I give the United Way, or I give because the kid came to my door, knocked on my door, and I bought a box of chocolates from him. And that's how I tithe. Oh, let God speak to you right now. And it's not me, it's God's word. Okay? It's not me, it's God's word. I've had two great examples in my life. My parents and my wife's parents gave through thick and thin when of when things were really tight and saw how God blessed him. My wife and I, it's been something that we've been able to do, and I'm not bragging whatsoever, but financially we've done some stuff that I look back and think there's no way we could have done that. I still don't know how we did that. You know, there's, you know, being a small business owner, there's been months I didn't get paychecks. My employees did, but I didn't. But yet, we still provided. We still had the lights on. We still made our mortgage payments. We still were able to give. We're still, you know why? Because the second part of that in Malachi, God says, test me in this because I am going to overflow your vats with new wine. And I'm not just talking money. I'm not just talking. Don't tithe because you think it's some sort of magical formula that you're going to get a check in the mail, that you're going to win the lottery. Nah. Malachi also says, God says in there, don't rob me of my blessings to you. Don't rob me. You know that good feeling you get when you give? God wants to have that good feeling and blessing you. We're robbing God of that when we don't invest into the community of God with our money. And again, if you're critical about how money is spent in church here, church general, church community, my guess is you're not giving. My guess is you're using that as a way to rationalize your sin of not giving, because really it is. And you are robbing God of blessing. You are robbing God of blessing. Now, is that just something that you could just change overnight and it's just going to fit? Well, maybe. But again, it's something that you might have to work on. You might have to build that muscle. You might have to build that muscle to break old habits, to break up of consequences of what you've done with your money in the past. And maybe you're paying for those consequences. Maybe God's speaking to you. You know, maybe instead of paying all that interest, you could be blessing somebody else with that resource. And so I've got a little, bear with me, I've got not enough time. Bear with me for just a few minutes. I have a little demonstration, which, because that's the way I like to learn, it's a little bit easier for me. And so envision this. Some of you are wondering why did they leave a big old gift basket up here? Well, this is why I brought it in. Okay, this was, first of all, I got to set the table a little bit in case I make a mess. Don't worry, I took this out of the, can I say that? I took this out of the rag box. I'm afraid somebody gave it to you. I took this out of the rag box in the garage. And then here, look at this. This was the drink of my youth. Coca-Cola. Oh, the real stuff. We're not talking diet. We're not talking sugar-free. We're talking classic Coke. Classic Coke. I drank so much of this that it became a habit. It became a habit, and I was getting stomach aches and couldn't sleep at night and couldn't figure out why. Well, I pretty much figured out why. It's got a lot of sugar, which cramped my stomach, and it's got a lot of caffeine. So anyway, but who knows? You can just, those of you that, and just if you don't like Coke, envision this as a Pepsi or some other type of beverage that you are thirsting after. We'll leave it at that. Okay, you top it off. You look at that. Anybody thirsty already? Mouth watering. You know what the best drink is? You know what the best drink of this whole bottle? Oh, that one. Oh, my old friend, that's good. Okay. The first drink. What does God say to do with your first fruits? First fruits. Bring it into the storehouse. When our kids were growing up, we were bad parents. We had soda in the house all the time. And they would go get a can of soda. Boy, I got two of my kids right here. And your mother, this is dangerous ground, I'm telling you right here. But one of my wife's habits was she wouldn't want to drink a whole can. She would say, I just want to drink. Give me that one. Let me open it for you. And do you guys remember that? Okay. Patrick's a little farther away than sitting, Stephen's real close to his mom, but, and she would take the first drink, she would open it up and take the first drink, and who know, you all know, just a minute, I gotta take another drink. Because I gotta work my way down this bottle, I haven't drank a 16-ounce bottle of Coke in a long time. Anyway, Y'all know that first drink is the best. And so envision this as you, as your resources, your time, your energy, your strength. Has anybody said, I can't volunteer because I'm just tired? I'm just wore out. Well, let me tell you, every Wednesday night I show up, I am wore out. But I tell you what, God comes with that new wine. God comes with that new wine of energy and is able to sustain me for those 2.5 hours, and I'm wiped out when we're done. But that's part of pouring back. That's part of what God does. Okay. So now, of all my resources, I have now consumed a pretty good chunk of it. Oh, golly. And now, of all my resources, my time and energy, I have to give some away because I have obligations. Rent, all sorts of food, all sorts of stuff that I have, you know, a car, brand new car that I'm trying to impress people that I don't know, you know, driving down the road. And I have to pour all this out. And I got to pour all this out. Oh, man. Kids need a new pair of shoes. Oh, man. I need a new toy. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, gee. And then there's, I know this person that really needs some help. Oh, that's full. I know this person that really needs some help, but I only got so much left. So you know what? Oh, bless me. I'm going to give him a little bit. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. I'm going to give him a little bit. And then it's like, oh, I got to take another drink. Okay. Well, let's see. That's all my time. That's all my energy. I got a little bit left. Oh, God, here you are. This is what I want to give you. And somebody said it. What is this? Backwash. This is like the last of it. This being the best part, what's this part? The worst part. And then it's like, you know what? That's so little. God doesn't need that. There's other people that give. That's so little. I need it desperately. Whew. All right, I'm done. Well, that's good. But gosh, I'm getting convicted because I really haven't done anything but consumed myself. And so what happens? Oh, this is dangerous. It would really be dangerous if you could up here and see how all that wiggled. How about if you did this? Whoop, whoop, whoop. God's already over blessing that bottle just talking about it. How about if you did this? You gave out of the first drink you gave to God. In your time, in your resources, your energy, everything you had, you gave out of the first drink. And then you're able to, when somebody needs help, you know what? I'm going to help a little bit more. But you know what God does? God comes along with all of the infinite wonder and power, and I couldn't get a bigger bottle to envision what God had. And what God does is God will then say, all right, I'm going to bless you because that's the kind of God I am. Because that's the God that loves you. That's the God that gave you everything. God's going to bless you with more energy. You're going to whoop, whoop, and you know what's going to happen? It's going to overflow. That new wine, that's why I put a blanket down. That new wine is going to overflow, and that energy and that blessing, that's what you're robbing God of. That's what you're robbing God of when you don't give him with the first fruits, is you're robbing him the opportunity of blessing. I've said this to somebody before more than once when I went to give somebody and do something for somebody and they tried to refuse it. Oh, no, I don't need that. I said, hey, don't rob me of my blessing. Don't rob me because I know I want that good feeling. I want that good feeling. God has spoke to me and this is why I'm giving it to you. And so don't rob God of that feeling. And now I'm like way out of time. And so I'm not even going to have Jason come up. But I'm going to end with a couple things. One is a quote. I put these glasses in my pocket for a reason. I might as well put them on. One of these is a quote from a guy named Richard Brownstein. Probably didn't pronounce it right. He's a French philosopher. And he said, it is possible to give without loving. Let me read that again. It is possible to give without loving. Without giving out of your excess, it is possible to give without loving, but it is impossible to love without giving. It is impossible to love without giving. If all you do is self-consume everything you have, you're going to end up a critical, greedy, grouchy person. And it is going to be visible to everybody. One last story, because I told you I had two. Will was one. The other is my dad. My dad we came from what you wouldn't even call middle income, lower income. My dad worked hard his whole life. One of his passions was horses. Loved horses. And so I got a horse. Growing up through teenagers, I got a horse. Not because I had a passion for horses, but because I had a passion for my dad, and I wanted to hang with my dad. And so when I graduated high school, 1976, he took me on a trip called the Chief Joseph Trail Ride. And it's Chief Joseph, an Indian, Nez Perce Indian, was trying to take his whole tribe and trying to escape to Canada while the cavalry was chasing him. Wonderful bunch of folks we were. Trying to chase him to annihilate him. He almost made it. Almost made it before he surrendered, and they killed a bunch of them and all that. But anyway, so we would go on this. He took me on this trip. It's a week-long trip. You take your horses. We drove my dad's pickup and our trailer all the way to Montana, the edge of Montana on the other side. And long journey. And we had to take food for the horses, food for ourselves. We had to do all that every day. You would ride a section every day. They would provide you with food and all that. They would provide you with food for your horses and all that. And at the end, at the beginning, you travel, you take all your trucks and everything to the end, and they bus you back. And so when you finish, your vehicle to go home in is at the end. And so we'd had a week long of all this, and they took well care of us. And I was such a good little boy the whole time. They provided everything you could imagine to eat and drink. And so got to the end, and had a big long trip, got to the end, and they provided a truck full of hay for you to take for your horses for your trip home. Well, we didn't have any hay. We'd ate it. This is one of the reasons I quit Coke. It's one of the reasons I didn't go to coffee this morning either. So it came time to leave, and they put out this big truckload, big semi-full of hay for everybody to take, and people went nuts over it. You were supposed to take, if you had one horse, you were supposed to take a bale of hay. If you had two horses, you could take two. People were going nuts and just being greedy, taking a whole bunch. And so that night, every night you'd sit around a big stage they'd put up, and they were talking about testimonies about how great a time they had. And my dad stood up, embarrassed the blazes out of me. My dad stood up, and he was pretty calm until you pushed him to his point, and he ripped into people for being greedy and taking all this hay. We didn't have any. And he ripped into them, and I was like, oh my gosh. You know, I had no brain. I was an 18-year-old, you know, and so naturally they got all done. The people that were in charge made sure that we had two bales of hay to go home with. So we get up the next morning, everybody's packing up, going every which direction. The people next to us had no hay. They didn't have any hay to leave, and all the hay was gone. So what did my dad do? He gave Mar two bales of hay. He gave Mar two bales of hay, and I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? You embarrassed me last night by having this fit in front of everybody, and now you got the hay, and now you gave it away. My dad said, that's just what you do. We'll get taken care of. We'll find hay somewhere. You know, and yeah, we did. We drove that day. We're in Montana. Where do you think hay is? Where do you think grass fields are? They're everywhere in Montana. And so my dad pulls in to some great big ranch, pulls in, and we got this broken old down Chevy pickup. And we were like the Clampets when it came to coming to town. And he gets out, and this rancher comes out, and he's all, you know, bow-legged rancher, been working hard his whole life. And my dad just tells him the story. The rancher just says, yeah, take what you want. And he's got a barn full of hay. And so, and we managed to sit down and share some, I'll say, beverages with him and all that for the afternoon before we came back. And what a blessing that God just provided that. And we came home with better hay from this guy than we were going to be given there. And so I say all that to say this. Don't drink. I say all that to say this is, look yourself in the mirror. What are you doing with generosity in your life? What are you doing with your time and your energy and your resources and your money? Are you consuming or are you giving to others and giving to God? And let God speak to you. Let God speak to you about that. So we're going to pray. Why don't you go ahead and stand up? Because we're way past time. I'm probably in trouble. I'm not as in bad a trouble as if my wife was out there today. But anyway. Father God, we just thank you for your word. Lord God, we thank you that you love us and care for us so much. Lord God, and help us to have a heart for others. God, not to be people that consume on ourselves, God, but to be willing to give of everything within us, God, to others. And we just thank you for who you are in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if anybody would like some Coke, there are 4 bottles completely unopened and a large 2-liter with just a little big out. Please come up and help yourself to all this. I can't take it home. Oh.